So welcome, everyone, to week two, relational meditating with others. We've been exploring how to meditate while talking, while listening, while being in conflict with people, while just touching other people. And I'm curious what questions, stories you have to share. Anything goes. So anyone who has a question, I'm going to mute you and then do star 5.
Conference muted.
So press star 5 if you'd like to, if you have a question. I heard a Was that from John? Was that you, John, that was trying to ask a question? I heard someone.
Zoe?
Hi. Do you have a question?
I do.
Great.
So I'm wondering how important it is that the other person is aware of and in a state of meditation when you are trying to, I guess when I think of meditation while relating to someone, I feel like the other person needs to be involved in that. But I'm assuming, you know, from a sort of intellectual standpoint that that's not true. But how valuable do you think that is for them to be in that role?
That's a great question. So the short answer is not at all.
Okay.
They don't need to be aware at all for you to be aware of what's going on for you to be asking yourself the questions before you talk. One of the great things about the questions that I hear the most in terms of feedback is that it seems like it's going to take a lot of time in order to ask those questions, but actually you can do it. You have plenty of time to say, is this true? Is it useful? Is this the right time to say it? That's my favorite one. That's where I usually get ousted.
Mm-hmm.
And to listen and to really be present to their energy. They can be completely unconscious and you can be fully meditative. It can be helpful if you do have a partner, and I mean partner in any sense.
Right.
An interaction partner who is also practicing meditation. There's a way that you can explore together and you can be a little bit slower, where with other people they might just be confused about what you're doing.
Right.
So you can talk about it and you can reflect. When I was in the monastery, that was one of the things. You could really slow down and notice. Even now, I'm aware of the feel of my tongue and my lips and my teeth as I talk to you. I'm aware of the images in my mind as I talk to you. I'm sensitive to your energy on the other end of the line.
Okay.
And so we can play with that together, or I can just do it on my own. But they don't need to actually be meditating at all. Of course, it's usually a more pleasant experience,
right,
when you're talking to someone who's present and aware and curious.
I would imagine.
Yeah. What have you noticed this week as you practiced with it?
Pardon me?
What have you noticed this week as you practiced with it?
I've noticed the more I think about the other person, especially the one about seeing people that you live with or are, you know, emotionally with, as if you've been meeting them for the first time, I've noticed that especially to be helpful in a way that I find the other person responding to me in a kinder, more curious way, which was sort of a side effect that I didn't necessarily think I would have. So that's been an interesting and nice experience, honestly.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you shared that, because it's really true that when you change, the people around you change.
Mm-hmm.
That they start to respond to your energy. And that's why we get so stuck in these, especially in family systems,
mm-hmm.
and in intimate relationships, in patterns and in energies, and we expect things from our partner and then they don't change. But mm-hmm. when we drop the expectation, suddenly they change.
Mm-hmm.
When we drop the need for it, because we really are controlling each other with our energy. So mm-hmm. I'm glad you're having that experience firsthand, that when you drop, presence is infectious. I like to think of it like with instruments, if you strum the string of a string instrument, other strings will start to come into harmony with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with your vibration. If you start putting out a vibration of presence and care and curiosity, then other people will start vibrating at that frequency mm-hmm. as well, unless they're really, really stuck.
Mm-hmm.
In which case it can't hurt, but sometimes it can be hard to change them. But that's pretty mm-hmm. rare that someone is that stuck.
Yeah.
There was something else you said that reminded me. Oh, yeah. Another great thing, humbling but great, is if you really feel like somebody else needs to do something, in my experience, it generally means that you need to do it.
Right.
So if you really are, and I don't know if this is your case, but whenever I notice that I'm like, that person should really be listening to me more. That's when I turn that around and I really
yeah.
start listening to them more, because it's impossible mm-hmm. for me to say anything like that, even inside myself, without it actually being true about me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that person is being a bitch. You know, well, I'm being a bitch if I'm saying that.
Right.
So that person should really be more present. Who should really be more present? So
right.
it's a great thing to look at too.
Absolutely.
And you're welcome to share the videos with your family if you feel that that's appropriate. Mm-hmm. But really listen to your own wild self, because it can be a way of, like I said, just kind of slightly shifting the attention away from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So really make sure that's what your wild self is saying to do if you decide to do that.
Right.
Well, thanks for sharing. Welcome, Jordan, and welcome whoever's in the 206 area code.
Thank you.
Hi. Seattle. Who's in Seattle?
Me, Megan.
Hi, Megan.
Hi.
How have you been doing this week?
Pretty good. Today I was feeling kind of low, but I'm also coming down with a cold, so.
No. That'll be for next week.
Oh,
you got your cold on the wrong week.
Yeah, no.
So what have you been noticing as you've been practicing relational meditation?
I've been noticing that it's been easier to just let people be who they are instead of trying in my mind to force them to be something else, you know, just like appreciating them for like all of their quirks and everything. Like my mom is a good example, because I've been living with her for the past mm-hmm. couple months since I moved back to town, and just like family does a lot of times in the past, she would do certain things that would just really, you know, just kind of annoy me, right? Like the typical mm-hmm. mom, daughter, like, oh my gosh, it's so annoying when she does that. But I find that it's easier just to let that go when, you know, as an just really appreciating her for being just who she is instead of just like reacting to what she's doing or whatever, quirky.
That's beautiful, yeah. And how does that feel? Does it feel better or worse than before?
It feels way better just because I can be more relaxed around her.
Yeah. It's really love, right? Like love is
right.
Like
I was gonna say that, yeah. It has like this more freeing quality to it.
Yeah. Love is letting people be who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's not trying to control them. When I meditation really helped me to vastly improve my relationship with my parents, and we're all very, very close now. And it, like I was saying just a moment ago, one of the biggest parts of that was just that I started being different. I didn't ask them to meditate, but I just started being different, and then they were able to be different, and we were able to change that script of, you know, person A says this, person B says this, person A slams door, person B begs for forgiveness, whatever it is. Have you practiced curiosity with your mom too, just asking her?
Yeah, I think we're both very much in our brains. We're pretty analytical and intellectual. And so in the past, sometimes I've struggled with thoughts of, or just kind of like a bit of that tension, like, oh, I have this knowledge and she doesn't recognize that I'm knowledgeable about a subject or something, you know. And she probably feels mm-hmm. the same way about me, like on certain subjects. Not on all subjects, but there's certain subjects that I think we do that. Anyways,
mm-hmm.
I was going to say when I'm able to just let that go and just ask her and get curious and pretend like, pretend like I don't know what she's going to say, you know, and just ask her, you know, almost like with like a beginner's mind, you know, like, oh, tell me more about that, you know, and just trying to get curious of it. I mean, on the one hand, she feels like I'm genuinely listening and open mm-hmm. to what she's saying, you know, but on the other hand, again, it's me allowing her to be who she is instead of like resisting or assuming I know what she's thinking or any of that.
Yeah, and it will actually change her answer. The way that you ask, the way that you listen will change her answer,
mm-hmm.
right? It's amazing. It will really give her more. I love, there's a Mark Twain quote that says something like, my father was a really dumb man at 14, but by the time I was 30, it was amazing how much he learned.
That's funny.
They really know a lot. People know a lot if we let them and if we listen in that open way.
Mhm. I love the quote too, that you can be right or you can be happy. That's really helpful too. It's like at a certain point, especially with her, like I feel way better just letting that go. You know, like whatever I think I know, I prefer to just drop it and just be there versus, you know, having to be right. Like it's like not worth losing that sense of openness
and connection. And then we can learn, right? If we know we can't learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Byron Katie says, defense is the first act of war. That's something I think about in conflict meditation a lot. And it's the same thing. Knowing is a means of defense.
What's that?
Defense is the first act of war. And knowing is an act of defense.
Really?
Versus unknowing. Is that Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a question about that?
Yeah, I would have never thought of, you know, knowing as an act of defense or offense, but I guess when you compare it to unknowing and being open and being curious, that makes sense. I'm going to have to ponder that because I spent a whole lot of time and energy and years knowing as much as I could, including knowing what's going on with people, and that obviously doesn't always work.
Well, and why did you want to know? What was the deeper intention behind that?
Why did I want to know what?
You said you spent a lot of time knowing about people.
Yeah, I'm just always curious as to motives and what's, you know, really going on and what's really kind of the genesis of a situation. I just spend a lot of time thinking. And so, but it had never occurred to me that in overthinking that I'm actually, it can be a type of violence towards other people.
It can be, yeah, it can set up limits for them for sure. And it can also prevent intimacy because who I am, who you know me to be in this moment, might be different than who I am in the next moment. We're all changing all the time. So if I know that you are the smart one or the insecure one, I'm not actually meeting you, right? I'm meeting my idea of you. Are you with me?
Yeah, I am.
The idea of the thing is not the thing.
That's true. And it's so one of the things I experienced this week was coming a couple of times to a place of understanding that was beyond words, and I found myself leaving it pretty quickly just because I sort of insisted on coming up with words that would work for it. So right then when you asked it if I was with you, I was completely with you, but if I had said anything, it would have actually taken me away from understanding you in that moment.
Oh, fun. So my challenge for you this week, but the rest of this week, is to play with, can I be both? Can I hold a word and also still be in that place of unknowing?
Right,
basically, can I use the word and not believe the word at the same time?
To the drop of oil.
Yeah, it's yeah, exactly. And it's a challenge because the mind so wants to something to land on. I think I love the way Jesus said it. Actually, Jesus said, "The sun, you know, the birds have the sky, and I don't know what he said. The birds have the sky, and the fishermen have their boats, and the flowers have the fields, and the Son of God has nowhere to rest his head." And to me, that's what that means. It's this always ever alive, always ever changing, always in direct experience, and never getting to just rest and say, this is what you are, and I don't have to be where anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it is exciting, but it can be scary. It's uncertain. Did you have any other fun discoveries this week so far?
I had a hard week. Two things with different people. One, my primary physical partner, and the other, someone who worked for me. And I thought we were in a really good space, and I found out that this person somehow found out the whole cost of a project and thought that he didn't get enough of the money. And it was one of those things where I eventually worked it out, but I had to keep stopping and dropping back and hold that fine line between, you know, appropriately saying what was true in my own defense without attempting to get really negative and attacky on him, because he was attacking me brutally. And eventually came back and apologized. And I didn't want to do that, but I also didn't want to let him say things that were, you know, crazy, untrue, and unprofessional and just, you know. So it was one of those very strange things. So I don't know how often I was consciously practicing what we've been talking about specifically, but I feel that it's kind of enabling me to pull back before I, you know, make certain things much worse than they have to be. So
yeah.
That makes sense.
Absolutely. It feels powerful, doesn't it, to stay in your integrity?
Yeah, and to not get totally, you know, part of my racket is that I get freaked out about certain things with other people because I think that's part of how I'll get what I want. I don't know when I learned that, but it's a very old pattern.
Yeah,
and usually it doesn't work, and so, you know, I know that, but that doesn't mean that I can always stop from engaging it once it starts. So, yeah, I'm feeling this is all working pretty well, and I also work with a life coach once a month at this point, and
we had our session today, and I spoke a little bit about what we've been doing, and, you know, it's all completely in accord with each other, so it all feels pretty good.
Yeah, well, I'd encourage you to print out the little questions.
Right.
Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Is this the right time? And also, did you listen to the talking meditation?
No, I listened to the sex meditation today, the video.
Nice. So that might help you with your primary physical partner. But I encourage you to listen to the talking meditation, the guided meditation.
Okay.
Because I think that will really help you with this. And if you saw the video with conflict, too. But it can be great. Those are great questions to just print out and stick in your wallet.
Yeah, tell me.
Say
what they are again. It's true, kind.
Necessary or useful?
Necessary. And is this the right time?
And is this the right time? Yeah. The third one is the one people get most tripped up about.
Is it necessary?
Say, well, I don't know if this is necessary, but I'm connecting with someone. And I say, well, connection is useful. So unnecessary is really just when we're filling up the space rather than just being together. It's a way of avoiding intimacy or if we're saying something unnecessary and harsh. So those are in the talking meditation. The questions are, well, there's precepts in Buddhism, which are suggestions for happiness. So they're not shoulds, they're not morals, but they're just suggestions for happiness. And I invite everyone to just try them and see if it makes you happier. So he suggests staying away from harsh speech, idle chatter, slander, gossip, and lies. So that's another nice little gate to let your words through to see, okay, am I doing any of these things?
Great.
And again, it's because when we do speak in that way, in my experience, in most people's experience, let's say I use harsh words or I gossip about someone, it doesn't make me more peaceful, right? It might make me feel good for 5 seconds or 5 minutes or even an hour, but then the mind is going again. And it causes more disruption in my life. And it causes drama in my world. So it's just something to get curious about. There's no right and wrong. It's just cause and effect. So I think it's great that you had conflict this week because it just gives you more to practice with and play with. And let yourself learn from conflict, right? That when we're meditating with conflict, it's not bad. Peace isn't the object in that meditation. Conflict is the object. And it's a really advanced area of growth.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's like, it's advanced level. That's what I always say. Oprah's sitting on a cushion. Deepak's sitting on a cushion. And you're like out there getting in a fight and meditating. You're a superhero. Advanced level. So have fun with it.
Okay.
Any other questions or shares?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
I was talking to my sweetie, and one thing I noticed is that what seems to me like a trauma reaction, actually, of she wants to just hibernate, you know. And I told her about your class and everything. I thought, you know, maybe it would be really a good time for her to explore that, and she hadn't done that. I'd, you know, offered a few ideas, you know, and I guess the thing that's hard is like when I'll put out something and I just won't get a response. You know, it's like and
Yeah. Have you asked her about it? Have you gotten curious?
Ask her about, well, yeah, she just said, I mean, she said she was confused, you know, and felt like hibernating, you know.
She said she was hibernating, or she was, that was your...
That's what she felt like doing. I mean, she just felt overwhelmed, you know.
Yeah, we call that flooded. Flooded. So there's a couple of things you can do, but what I'm most curious about in terms of this is, did you bring your awareness as you're communicating with her to your knowing on other levels? So you're communicating on other levels than speaking?
Oh, you're cutting out. What is that again?
I said, did you bring your meditation to listening on all of the levels other than speaking? Listening to her energetically, listening to yourself, like to what's really going on here. Are you there? Hello?
Hi. But he's not there anymore.
Hi. He dropped?
Sounds like it.
Okay. Well, he'll come back. Did anyone else experiment with that, with listening? Did anyone use the listening guided meditation yet? Did you have a chance to listen to that? Monica, Megan, Jordan?
You know, at a certain point, they all blend into one, so I'm not sure. And I started one, and I was put it on while I was lying down, and I don't know how far I got. So,
okay. Did anyone play with listening on a new level? Megan was talking about it, but really listening beyond words to what people are saying, what they're telling you with their energy, with their body movements, with their eye direction. It's fascinating.
This is Megan.
Hi.
I was just gonna comment that I felt like overwhelmingly I saw this pattern of people talking about things that they really thought they knew, that like largely in conversation, like the conversation defaults to things that people feel kind of certain about, you know, like going from a superficial to like talking about the weather, you know, or like a sports team, or even like their job, right? But when I was really listening, you know, there wasn't a lot of questioning by and large. It was people stating things that they, you know, that they felt pretty sure about, which is kind of interesting to me that people really feel comforted and kind of that seat in their mind, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's fabulous. Fabulous seeing. It is fascinating, right? And then we can fact it off, and we don't have to grow, and we don't have to learn and be in that area that Jordan and I were talking about where it's kind of hazy, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. What if I don't know which side of politics is right? Or what if I don't know if I actually care about the sports team? Then I have to get really alive in this moment.
Right.
I can't.
Or even
can't
comments about, like, people. Yeah. Like, I think my grandma made some comment about, like, Obama's wife, like, what she was wearing, and she was very certain that it wasn't fashionable or something. But even that was, like, you know, she felt certain, you know, that wasn't it. And to me, you know, I just listened to her, but it was pretty humorous. It's like, wow, like, it's just interesting to see that, like, that's what people focus on, you know. But even in that subject, like, what to wear, what not to wear, it's all, like, what you think you know about fashion or what's, I don't know.
Right, like, as if there was an ultimate right or wrong in the universe about what clothes
you
wear.
Ultimately, it's people wanting to be right about what they're saying.
Yeah, because they want to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a way to reify identity, to reify this personality, which
yeah.
is safe but limiting. Right? And again, it's not wrong, but it's just like, let me get curious about that. Is that
yeah.
really who I want to be? I love that you're seeing that. And then as you see it, your own speaking will change just on its own.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that like when I see myself doing that, it's really annoying now. I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, I think I know something. And to some extent, it's like, well, I'm, you know, I'm a human and I have an opinion. I'm going to have opinions, right? But yeah, it's really interesting to see that in myself as well.
This is great. You're like a talking and listening meditation pro, Megan. So what another, you just pointed to another fascinating thing about talking meditation, which really tripped me out when I first saw it, which was this way that we think that we're talking, but so much of it is automatic and so much of it is habit. And so it, when you really start to build that awareness muscle, you can be in a conversation and suddenly be like, why am I even saying this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's this part of you that's talking and there's this part of you that's watching it. Like, this isn't
right.
even me.
Yeah, and actually that was going to be my next question for you, because I see that, and especially for me, I'm a natural extrovert, so I tend to want to strike up conversation first and make people feel good about stuff, but, like, watching myself do that, you know, like, I know I'm doing it, and part of me doesn't want to do it because I'm like, I don't, you know, like, this is so automatic. It's just me playing the role of, like, entertainer and people pleaser, you know, so that
yeah.
would be my next question for you, like, I like that about myself, but now, you know, like, it does become a little annoying when I see how automatic it is, so
mm-hmm.
just wondering if you have any feedback about that.
Yeah, the key is to be at choice, right? It's not to make it wrong, but it's to be really aware of it and decide, is that what I want to do? Is that what's authentic, or is it not?
Mm-hmm.
And it's in each moment. It's not going to be an answer that's true forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to break the pattern, what I highly suggest and invite you to is to play with it. See what happens when you don't do that. Notice
mm-hmm.
the result. You know, take a sample. Don't just do it with one person. Because you might be surprised. I'm pretty gregarious myself. I used to be more so. And I realized that when I didn't, you know, I have a strong personality, and so when I didn't just jump in, often the conversation would go in an entirely different direction. That was fascinating to me.
Mm.
And sometimes I just want to get on that train and see where it's going. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes I want to be a little more directive with the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be at choice about that.
Yeah.
And I want to make really sure that it's coming from my authenticity and not from my, like you said, desire to please or my desire to be liked or my desire to appear in any way.
Yeah. It,
which, again, are all little ways of controlling people.
Yeah, for sure. It was making me, just hearing what you were saying was reminding me of like a period of my life where I was going through a really rough breakup and I was pretty low. And I had a friend who came in from out of town and he knew me as this really fun, lighthearted, you know, funny person. And I was really committed during that period of time to really just try to be authentic. You know, I wasn't like
mm-hmm.
trying to play the victim or anything, but I honestly kind of didn't have any energy to like pretend anymore at that point in time. And it was so funny how, like, he was really confused. Like, he kind of took it personal, I think, at first or at, like, different points. And, you know, because he was visiting, he thought that, like, I didn't want him to be there. And I kept saying, like, no, this is, like, I'm just in a really low point, man. Like, this is just what's going on. But yeah, it just reminded me how I think that's one of the reasons why it's hard to practice that more is this fear that if I'm being authentic and people don't understand where I'm at, you know, they're going to worry about me, or I'm going to cause like an unnecessary, you know, burden or worry for other people because they're not going to see me as they normally see me.
I have a great mantra for you for that.
Yeah, what's that?
Who cares? That's their work.
That's another one.
That's their work. If they're going to worry about you, that's their work. If they can say, hey, should I be worried about you? You can say no.
I know.
But this is
the people-pleaser conundrum.
Like, just drop it. Just put it down. They get to be in charge of their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to be in charge of yours. And that's such a beautiful example. Thank you for bringing it. Your friend of someone who wasn't in listening meditation, right? Who wasn't in interactive meditation. And what that does, right? It this is like such a perfect example. It stopped you from being your whole self.
Mm.
And that's what we do when we know what someone's like, right? When I know Megan is like a happy, what did you say? Happy, light person.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can't let you be what you are, which is a whole person.
Yeah.
I can't create that space where you feel safe to show me all the parts of you, which is a joy for me to see the whole of you.
Yeah, and it was actually
a really
sad experience for me because I could tell he was like rejecting that part of me.
Yeah, so take it as a learning experience of how not to be to other people.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm totally thinking of.
Yeah, don't let it stop you from being the whole you, because we're all miracles. I mean, we're everything. We're just so complex beings, and we trap ourselves into, like, he's the happy one, and she's the sad one, and he's the smart one, and she's the stupid one, and none of that is true. We all have all of these qualities. If we create the space for each other, as soon as they've done so many studies today, scientists have done studies with kids a lot, where if you say this is the smart kid, then they become smart. And if you say if this is the stupid kid, they do badly on tests. Same thing for the people in our lives. We need to let them be everything.
And
they can actually really know each other.
Yeah, I'm reflecting back on that post that I put up, too, because I think in a lot of ways I told myself, like, trapped myself in this idea about myself that I was smart and that I was, you know, like, had all my shit in order and stuff, and so now I find my place where I'm finding it really stupid and having made, like, really stupid decisions and still have my shit in order exactly right now, you know, or things didn't turn out the way I planned. That same track.
Yeah, and watch the way you're talking to yourself, too.
Because
that doesn't sound very self-loving. So just, again,
I'm aware of it, I'm not, you know, just it's, in this moment, I find it funny just to say, like, lightheartedly.
Okay.
But
yeah, that's another thing for you is to get really curious as you're talking to people. Am I censoring myself?
Mm-hmm.
Am I controlling how I appear? And when you control how you appear, again, you're controlling the other people too.
Yeah.
It is the opposite of love. Control is the opposite of love. So rather than say, hey, you can like me or not, you're free to like me or not, I'm going to be authentic. And sometimes I'm going to be happy, and sometimes I'm going to be frustrated, and sometimes I'm going to be all of these things.
Yeah.
And then they get to be free to decide if they want to be around you or not. But nobody has to control each other.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think it's just so interesting how, like, we also trap ourselves. Like, we do that in relationships to other people. Oh, when we
most
don't accept ourselves. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just said most of all.
Yeah.
Ourselves. And then other people don't even have the opportunity to get to know us.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then we live in a lonely world. A world that's so lonely. Mm-hmm. So that's the first step. If people feel lonely, if they feel disconnected, if they feel like they don't belong, is to start letting yourself out. And some people won't want to be around you, but the people that do, you'll feel very connected to. Thank you for sharing that. Those are amazing examples.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Let's see on the call. Have any other questions or sharing?
I'm back. My phone dropped the call.
Oh, great. I'm glad you're back. You were having the your partner was hiding.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right? So
yeah, that's what it seemed.
If you dropped, if you brought awareness to listening at multiple levels to your partner, so not just to her words or lack of words, but to her energy, to her eye gazes, to her body posture, and also
yeah, well, we were actually, yeah.
Say more?
You know, so it's not really talking, but I try to, that's where I got, I mean, I was able to answer, just from our energy, I said, you know, you don't feel safe, do you? And she said, yes, you didn't feel safe, you know, and,
do you want her to feel safe?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Did you ask her what would make you feel safe?
I said that was my my intention all along, you know.
Yeah, did you ask her what it would take for her to feel safe?
No, I didn't. I should have.
Questions are the least, like, they're the most underrated thing in conversation. One of my favorite relationship savers is, what did you mean by that? That's a question that can save relationships right there. But, yeah, questions. Curiosity. Listening. And what also for you, I keep getting this nudge from my wild soul to ask you what you know to be true in your soul, in your wild self. To really listen. I have this feeling your wild self is talking to you a lot and you may or may not be listening.
Yeah. I'm feeling peaceful, which is unusual. You know, in spite of everything, I'm feeling peaceful. I'm feeling, you know, it's like, and I did say, and she agreed with me, and I said that, you know, there's something bigger than us both happening, you know.
There's the energy between.
She agreed about that. And I'm curious about that, you know.
It's a great thing to get really fascinated about. It can be really fun to play with. I think of people as sort of chemical elements. And as you go through, you can do this for a whole day. just notice every time you're with a new person, what is created between the two of you? What's the energy there? When I get together with this person, there's, you know, this playful energy. When I get together with this person, there's a very calm energy. When I get to this person, there's a very joyful energy. When I get to this person, there's a very kind of dead energy. And we tend to think, oh, well, that's the other person. But generally, it's the combination that creates that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you can do that with spaces. But since we're talking about interpersonal meditation, really play with noticing with people, what is the energy that we create when we're together? And it can change your life. You can know exactly who you want to pick as a partner, as a business partner, who you want to hang out with when you feel down, who you want to hang out with when you feel up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and really coming from a place of consciousness rather than a place of agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Of wanting. What I'm hearing in your relationship, which is totally natural, is that you're really wanting a certain result.
What's that?
In your relationship right now, are you wanting a certain result, a specific result?
I think I'm just going for what's our highest good, you know. It's like, Oh, sure. I mean, I would love for everything to work out perfectly, you know. But I also realize that, you know, she may need some space, or, you know, is trying to figure things out herself, and, you know, doesn't have the answers. And so I'm just trying to be, you know, supportive of her being authentic and true to herself, and anything I can do to facilitate that. That's kind of my intention right now.
Great. Yeah, with you, I just keep hearing drop any agenda and really just get curious. Drop any agenda.
Thing. Oh, yeah.
And get curious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and really listen. Listen to a listening meditation. Really listen. Listening is the answer in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Really listening to our partner. And then we get to decide if we want to be there or not. If that's going to work or not. But really listening to your partner and really listening to yourself, too.
What about, how do you handle incomplete communication?
Incomplete communication. Can you say more?
Well, it could be simple as my asking, how are you doing? And then there's no answer. You know,
to me, there's no non-communication. So if I ask someone how they're doing and they don't answer, and I'm sure they heard me, that's a pretty clear communication that they don't want to talk to me. It's not verbal, but it's clear.
Mm.
I can also go deeper and feel into, like, maybe I can know that they actually do really want to talk to me, but they're angry at me. So I have to really start to meditate and to listen on all these different levels. And then I get to choose, right? I listen to my wild self. And my wild self might say, just walk away. You know, they can take responsibility. They can ask me to talk if they want to talk. My wild self might be like, no, not the right time. Or my wild self might say, call it, Zoe. So then I might say something to them like, I'd love to talk to you, but it feels like maybe you're upset. Is that the case? What's going on? you know, or I might say, is there anything you want to say to me? That would be even better. As open a question as possible. Or I might just say, I love you and I want to talk to you whenever you're ready. And I get really clear and really honest with myself about what it is that's over there, what's happening, and then about what my genuine response is. Not my, like, people pleaser response, like we were talking about. Not my habitual response, not my fear response. But what, once I've seen my thoughts and I've seen my emotions and I've seen my habits, is my genuine response in this moment? It's impossible not to communicate. Not saying something is saying something.
Mm-hmm.
And I might say, did you hear me? You know, if I really am not sure, sometimes people are lost in thought. But it requires a lot. This is not, it's not for the faint of heart. It's really getting real with reality rather than just responding from our, again, person A says, how are you? Person B doesn't respond. Person A has his habitual response to that, which is either to storm out or to say, why aren't you talking to me? Person B has their habitual response. So let's choose something else. Whoever has dogs in the background, if you could mute yourself, that would be wonderful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what about the dogs?
I don't know. I got mine for once.
You have little dogs, right?
I do.
Yeah, those are big dogs.
I think I muted them. It might have been you, John. I don't know. Are you with me? Does that help?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'll have to. Well, you know, I guess the next question is, you know, if someone doesn't want to talk to you, then asking questions is not going to help or not. You know.
That's why you have to go into your authentic self. You show up fully, and then you let go. So I feel into, does this person really not want to talk to me? Or does this person not want to talk to me but have something blocking? You know what I mean by the difference, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If someone really doesn't want to talk to me, that is a clear communication, and I would suggest not talking with that person. Because it's probably not going to be fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody wants to talk to me, but they're not talking to me because they're hurt or they're angry or they're ashamed for whatever reason, then I listen to myself and I hear the question to ask them that's authentic, or the statement. What we usually do is come from a defensive posture, or even more often a habitual posture, right? So what is your habitual response to when your girlfriend or wife doesn't answer?
Gosh, it kind of depends on how, you know, how recent, you know, we've communicated. Like sometimes I'm just needing connection, and once there's connection, then I'm fine. You know, if they want to go off and be alone, then I'm totally fine. I just needed some connection. You know, so
when you come in and you want connection and you say hello, how are you, and she doesn't answer, what do you do?
I don't know. It's I figure, well, she must be busy, you know. And
and she can hear you. She's just not answering.
What's that?
She can hear you. You're sure she can hear you, right?
Oh, I'm talking. Well, in this case, I'm talking about a text, really.
So that's different, right? Because then you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Over there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's an entirely different medium. So with text, I would just, if you have a need in a relationship, when you're together in person, have a conversation in a meditative way where you say, hey, I feel a need to connect once a day. If I send you a text, could you respond?
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel connected, and all I really need is one sentence. And then she gets to say her piece, and as she says her piece, really listen.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's right and nobody's wrong. You just get to be authentic with each other and find a place that works for both of you. Or not,
mm-hmm.
and separate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's remarkably simple for how difficult it is for humans to be just clear with each other and not take it personally and not hide what's true for them and not hide what's true for the other. We make it really complex.
Yeah, it's so easy to make a story up, you know.
So easy. Off to the races.
Yeah.
But it's much more fruitful to just be curious and also to be authentic and really get to know yourself. Like, why do I need that? Why do I need that response? Is that authentic or is that coming from insecurity? If it's coming from insecurity, that might be something you want to investigate. Because then no matter how many times she says, yes, I'm here, honey, you're still going to feel that insecurity until you work with it. But if it's just coming from a genuine joy in you that likes to connect, and that's something that you really need in a relationship, then you get to find that with her or find it with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Or decide you don't, you know, you get to, it's just about being clear with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or she may, you, and you never know what she'll say. People are very surprising. If you don't have an idea, you might say, like, I text you every morning, hi, how are you, and I don't hear from you. And she might say, well, you always text me while I'm painting, and I'm covered in paint. You know, like, you never know what people are going to say. So
mm-hmm.
it's much better to get curious. And whatever she says, don't make it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make your feelings wrong. Don't make her feelings wrong. Just, okay, if this is what it is, let's work with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a meditative conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The other conversation,
well,
which is quite common, is this is my reality. No, it's not. This is my reality. Your reality is wrong, which is not a very functional or productive relationship conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We could go in circles for a long time on that one. It's messy, but it's productive.
Oh, yeah. She's, you know, she's showing up, so that's good. You know,
that's the most important thing.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And you're welcome to show her the videos if you think it will help, but don't do it in lieu of you mastering the videos. Like I said to the first caller, yeah, like I said to the first caller, when we really feel like someone else should do something, it is often a sign that we need to go to the next level with it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want her to listen, I would really practice the listening meditation every day. And when you start to really listen in that deep way, then she'll start really listening to you as well. Almost invariably.
Mm-hmm.
It creates a big space. But yeah, get curious. Get really curious with her. If she doesn't feel safe, so what would make you feel safe?
But that's the truth. I encourage you also to get in your body. Trust yourself. Listen to yourself. Move from that place. I want to see if anyone else has a question. You can press star 5 just as we're concluding up here. Did you have any last questions about that?
How do you parse out a felt sense? I mean, you know, sometimes I'm trying to listen for that, and sometimes I'm not sure. Like my mind might tell me something, and then when I try to get a felt sense for it, I might not have it. You know,
mm-hmm.
So,
how would you know if you didn't have thoughts what to do?
Just by feeling, I guess.
That's it. That's the felt sense. So that's a great question to ask yourself in those moments. If I was incapable of thought, how would I know what to do in this moment? And go with that. It might be like touch her on the arm. It might be make her a cup of tea. It might be tell a story from your childhood. You have no idea what it will be, but if you come from that place, it'll be the right thing. And by right, I just mean effective. Is that clear?
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you. Try that. If I couldn't think, how would I know what to do?
Yep, and now I know what I'm going to do.
Perfect. You're a master already.
Yay.
Yay. Thank you for sharing. I'm sure
Thank
everyone can
me.
Relate in their own way to your experience. Anyone else? Any last questions or sharings from the week, insights, discoveries, interesting anecdotes? Anyone have a complete fail at meditation, relational meditation? Or notice anything about themselves? Anyone notice they were constructing sentences in their head before the other person finished? All right, then I will check to see if there are any more questions posted in. And if not, we will close up the call.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, well, thank you, everybody. Next, what?
I just said thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And next week is going to be, we'll practice these things for the rest of this week. Don't get ahead of yourself. And share in the Facebook group. I know this is a scary week. I didn't know, but now I know. It's a scary week. So, if you also have sharings or questions that you want to share and you want to be anonymous about, you can email me, zoe@wildmeditation.com. And I'm sure that whatever you're experiencing or having questions about, other people are too. And just remember, you're a meditation superstar for doing this. It's easy to sit on a cushion and be aware. It's much harder to jump into interactions with other people and remain in that same state of awareness, both of yourself and of the other. and come from an authentic place. It takes an incredible amount of willingness, commitment, and courage. So thank you, and I will see you all in the Facebook group. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.